recaps this historic year in Kenyan politics.
Please repeat after me.
I, Uhuru Kenyatta.
Those words from Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta in November concluded an unusually drawn-out 2017 election season. After the country's August polls, in which Kenyatta was declared the winner over Raila Odinga, the Supreme Court annulled the presidential election, citing irregularities in the transmission of election results. In its ruling, the Supreme Court highlighted the Electoral Commission, or IEBC's, refusal of a court order to open its computer servers.
Leaves us with no option but to accept the petitioner's claims that the IEBC's IT system was infiltrated and compromised, and the data therein interfered with, or IEBC's officials themselves interfered with the data, or simply refused to accept that it had bungled the wool transmission system and were unable to verify the data.
So the court ordered the IEBC to hold a new poll within 60 days. After continued demands for IEBC reforms, Odinga decided to withdraw from the October 26th rerun election and urged his supporters to boycott the polls. Kenyatta was announced the winner of the second election. Odinga argued that Kenyatta lacked legitimacy given the low voter turnout. Two petitions filed in the Supreme Court challenged the decision, but this time the court upheld the election results. Odinga responded by announcing the creation of a resistance movement and threatening to conduct his own inauguration. The Attorney General had this response.
The criminal law of the Republic of Kenya in Article 40 of the Penal Code provides or stipulates that that sort of process is high treason. It is high treason in respect of the person so involved and any other person facilitating that process.
Many fear the installation of Odinga as an alternative president could increase tension in a country where more than 70 people were killed during election-related violence. Kenyans now wait to see if their newly elected officials will use 2018 to promote peace and fulfill their campaign promises. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
In Malawi, a girl who resisted pressure to marry when she was orphaned at age 15 is now running a secondary school providing free education to needy girls. More than half of the girls in Malawi are married off before they can complete secondary school. Memory Modiyaseni says her mission is to give girls a chance. Lamek Masina has the story from Nsaru, a rural area outside Malawi's capital, Lilongwe.
Atsikana Baulendo, or girls on the move secondary school, is a symbol of hope for girls from poor families.
My parents could not afford to pay my school fees to any other secondary school because they're poor and don't work. They're only peasant farmers who don't earn enough from farming.
Emile is among several girls who are learning here for free. This school is a brainchild of memory Jazeza Jetseni, who resisted a push into marriage from her relatives after the death of her parents. But 3 years later, she lost an uncle who was paying for her secondary education, and she left school to stay with her grandfather.
I was the only girl in the village. And when I asked about the other girls, where they were, I was told they are all married. And in this small village, the expectation was that I was the next person to get married.
Instead, she began working as a volunteer teacher at an all-girls secondary school, which had just opened in her area. Here, she became friends with a volunteer teacher from Canada, who later raised funds for Jetson's college education. after obtaining a degree in Bible studies, Nyetseni shared with her Canadian benefactor, Christy Johnson, the idea of starting the all-girls secondary school. The school gets most of its funding from Rotary Clubs in Canada, where Johnson lives. More than 800 girls have so far benefited from the scholarships since they began in 2007. Some are now working as teachers, while others have graduated from universities.
If I do not have APU there for me, it means that by now I would be home in the village, married, having kids, and just a housewife. And a housewife, of course, of a subsistence farmer, and I do not like that.
A graduate of economics from the University of Oklahoma in the U.S., Samuel plans to start an economic empowerment initiative that will help give employment to people in her village. Financial challenges have forced the school to enroll other students who pay tuition fees. Still, Nyetseni plans to open a few more schools operating under the same model and even dreams of opening colleges for the benefit of girls. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Lilongwe, Malawi.
Man's best friend is being drafted into the war on wildlife trafficking in Africa. Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and Mozambique have all enlisted canine rangers to help detect illegal wildlife contraband, in particular ivory. And now Botswana is joining the trend. The country is home to Africa's largest remaining population of elephants. 10 new canine rangers, along with 15 Botswana handlers, are completing the training in Tanzania. Lenny Ruwaga reports from Arusha, Tanzania.
Ishmael Munwamwetsi leads his charges in an obedience drill that is meant to instill discipline in both rangers and their dogs. Commander Munwamwetsi, a retired crime scene investigator, commands 15 rangers on a course that has taken them 2 months to master. The rangers here are all from the Department of Wildlife and National Parks in Botswana, and once graduated, shall be deployed to form the country's first canine unit that will combat the trade in wildlife contraband. Munwamwetsi says the trained dogs are the best partners in fighting poaching.
Dogs are effective because of their good sense of smell or their natural olfactory in terms of managing the different scents. The dogs as well, if we look at that, human beings can easily be, you know, bribed. You can't bribe a dog or you can't lie to a dog.
Ali Daddy, the regional immigration officer in Arusha, says that countries ought to collaborate in the global menace for effective results. Daddy adds that people should view wildlife as an income earner that needs to be protected at all costs.
Wanyamapori, of course, wanyamapori.
Wildlife as a natural resource is a gift from God and needs to be well managed so as to contribute to the economy. But if poachers keep killing the animals, it will mean fewer tourists and also affect our income in terms of foreign exchange for our country.
The Africa Wildlife Foundation, AWF, is an international conservation organization that partnered with Canine Specialist Services International, which is in Arusha, Tanzania. Today, Philip Murudhi, the lead scientist specializing in species conservation at AWF, is getting a demonstration on how the trained sniffer dogs react to contraband and how meticulous the search is. Murudhi says that wildlife plays an important part in all ecosystems that make up the environment.
These species play ecological roles, and the ecosystem in which these species occur provide water, clean air, and these species are part of that health of that ecosystem. For those ecosystem services and goods to benefit and help us with human well-being, we need these species. That's why this war must be stopped.
Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and Mozambique already have ranger canine units at their ports of entry, all of whom have been trained at the facility. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Arusha.
New York is a magnet for immigrants looking for freedom and opportunity in the U.S. At the same time, American life is enriched by the diverse cultures and fresh perspectives that immigrants bring. VOA's Adam Phillips profiles Nigerian-American writer Obioma Nwokolo. Nwokolo is the author of children's book series about a fictional 10-year-old African princess who loves to make friends, solve mysteries, and protect African wildlife.
Obioma Nwokolo's path to success as a children's author was anything but straightforward. She came to New York in 1989 to study fashion design, then decided to become a pharmacist. But when her son, now 10 years old, was bullied on a school bus, she penned a series called Power Kids to help children spot and cope with bullies. Before long, Nwokolo was getting up at 5 every morning to write, and the Princess Amelie series was born.
Princess Amelie is a 10-year-old African princess. Amelie is a short form of Omalicha, which means beautiful.
The first title in her series, Princess Amelie, The Coronation and the Polka Dot Lamb, is a mystery story where Amelie must overcome a family curse.
She's a smart, intuitive, exciting and funky, and always looking to do something different. And she really, really wants to have friends. And so in the first book, it's introducing her funkiness and how eventually the curse is broken and she solves the mystery with her grandmother.
Nwokolo writes her books for all children, but girls from 6 to 12 years old are her primary audience. Nwokolo says that when girls identify with powerful female characters like Princess Amelie, it inspires in them a sense of self-esteem and possibility. She recalls being smitten as a child with stories by the English author Enid Blyton, who wrote nearly 100 mystery and adventure stories about girls for girls. Nwokolo's stories pay homage to Blyton, but with an African twist.
I made sure that I put all those things that really got me going, that really got me reading into the night under the blankets with my torch, and my parents didn't know. And also I added things that kids will read and say, I didn't know this about Africa. This is so interesting.
After 28 years in America, Nwokolo still misses her childhood home in eastern Nigeria. She says the atmosphere she creates in the Princess Amelie stories recalls the life she once knew.
Yeah, it is a way of staying in touch with my roots because that's where I grew up. I grew up doing all the things Princess Amelie does in the book, like the food, pounded yam, fish soup, okra soup. I mention all those, the way it tastes, the way it's prepared. Also talk about the climate, how warm it is, where you wake up in the morning, go to the river, you see the fruits fall from the trees and you eat them there. It's so beautiful. And the people are warm, friendly. I want everybody who reads it to know about this beautiful Africa.
Nwokolo's books do touch on some serious subjects, like poaching. In her recent title, Princess Amelie, The Cheetah and the Chatterbox Parrot, Princess Amelie and her friend go to a group of villagers to explain why they should take a stand against poaching. She warns them that fewer animals will mean fewer tourists and therefore bad economic times. And then there is the cruelty of poachers, who often take the ivory tusks from living elephants and leave them to die in agony.
People hack the elephant tusk out of their heads. And she says to them, imagine if your tooth was pulled out without any anesthesia, or that aliens came from another planet and strung your eyeballs as Christmas decorations without asking your permission. This is what we're doing to the elephant. And when they say that, kids are like, wow, that's true. So it creates awareness. It's hopefully get kids to act and pay more attention to the environment, enlightening your community, and you're doing something to help your society.
So far, Princess Amelie books are mostly sold in the United States, but Nwokolo is in touch with African educators. She wants these books to be part of school children's reading lists. She has also begun to market a Princess Amelie doll. In America, most dolls are white. Nwokolo wants African-American girls to have a doll that looks like them. That way, when they read about the princess's amazing adventures, they can say, I could be this girl myself. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Well, comedy can play an important role in sparking dialogue in societies. In many authoritarian countries, including Zimbabwe, comics have tread lightly when it comes to politics. But with the end of the government of former President Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's humorists say there's a new sense of freedom of speech. Reporter Kuzayi Zvinovashi recently spoke to several comics about the changing approach today to teasing politicians and celebrities.
Comedy in Zimbabwe has kept Zimbabweans laughing through the nation's most trying times. Comedian Clive Chigubu talks about the history of the comedy industry in Zimbabwe.
It started off with the Edgar Langeveld way back, but those guys got arrested. Comedy is about revolution. And then after that, then came us in 2008. All these Bulawayo guys and folks coming together and building up shows. That's where comedy started to really boost up. Right now, it was a bit stagnant because of the cash crisis system, but I'm happy that we have so many young comics that are coming up.
Comedy has played a crucial role in starting social debate in Zimbabwe. Prosper Ngomashi is a comedian whose stage name is The Comic Pastor.
In the past, comedy was regarded as an anti-government thing because whenever you do a political joke, it's regarded as an anti-government. But now, I think there's been change. People have been accepting comedy as it is.
President Mugabe's government had a lot of intolerance for political mockery. Comedian Mandlenkosi Mate says that's changing and that it's been a struggle. But the comedy business is starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, we've been patient for so long. Since Robert Mugabe was still the president of Zimbabwe, man, we've been receiving threats left, right and center, doing the political jokes and stuff. But now at least everyone now is happy that the comedians can actually do fun jokes about the government and stuff. I think we have now a legal percentage of freedom of expression and speech and stuff.
Mate recalls one time when he was threatened after joking about politics.
Ah, many threats, many, many threats, especially in Harare. I was approached by five agents of the watch. They were like, boy, come over here. This thing you're doing is not okay. You have to stop it.
Mate adds that businesses are beginning to provide financial backing for comedy. Many companies sponsor comedians to enhance their brand, even using them as commercial ambassadors in advertisements aimed at consumers.
We are receiving a lot of corporates and sponsors so far. It's not officially a job, especially in Harare, not much to say in Bulawayo. Bulawayo with the audience is very hard, but at some point we've infused some people to believe in us and they are now regular customers. But some of them just feel like, what is comedy? These guys just smoke weed and make jokes.
Chigubu says comedy plays a role in influencing the public's perception of politics.
It does play a vital role in terms of politics because we are the commentators. We listen to what people are saying, but as a comedian, there's a line that normal people really stop. As a comic, you continue from that line.
On Saturday evening, Busstop TV, an online program that produces comic skits that go viral online, celebrated its third anniversary with a free show. It's respected for not taking sides in politics, but for skewering all sides of the political spectrum equally.
You guys are celebrating your independence.
Normalcy had finally returned to Harare after days of joyful relief over Mugabe's departure. Chigubu says we will be hearing more political jokes.
We're going to be hearing more political jokes, but are we supposed to go far? No, we shouldn't go far because we are a nation that is so private. Have you noticed what has happened in our government change? Even the BBC didn't know.
We are taking over the ZBC. You guys should know that you are safe. So is the president. We are just collecting criminals. And we're like, we know, my guy, we know.
Chigubu says he thinks President Mnangagwa will be okay with the comics making jokes.
I have got more Emmerson Mnangagwa jokes. He's quite a humble person. That's what I love about him. So, which means he's not that harsh. He even made us laugh even during this whole process. Remember that he thought he was going to get killed, but he told us, I'll be back. Just like, I'll be back. Hasta la vista, I must say.
And look, Robert Mugabe couldn't change one place. It will sound very, very, very wrong. He couldn't change Victoria Falls, people. We can't have Victoria Falls called Robert Gabriel Mugabe Falls.
Comics are optimistic. One of their main aspirations is that the state broadcaster buys their content and they can earn a living from the job they love. Lampooning reality. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zunawashe from Harare.
We'll end our special show today on a musical note. Here's Mother-in-Law by Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars. That wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
40 New Year's greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Happy New Year, Nnamdi.
And a happy New Year to you, Sonny, and a happy Kwanzaa.
Nnamdi, 2017 was an action-packed year in boxing. We'll look back to some of the award-winning fighters and award-winning fights in 2017. But first, let's look ahead to 2018 and the big boys, the heavyweights. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, former world heavyweight champion. It looks like he might be getting back in the ring. Tell us about that, Nnamdi.
We're really excited about Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, because no matter what you say about him, he brings excitement. He will go in front of the British Boxing Board of Control in January, which means that once they'll clear him and license him, he stands a very good chance of coming back in the ring because he brings people into the arena, and he talks up the fight. So he's a man that we need in the division.
Tyson Fury has struggled with substance abuse issues, Nnamdi. Is he clean?
Well, it depends on what you mean by is he clean. He will have to go through more tests, and the British Boxing Board of Control will have to draw the line and say, hey, we must check you maybe every month or every week. Right now, Sonny, he's like a 300-pound whale, you know. He needs to drop at least a good 100 pounds to really start thinking about getting into the ring, because the way he looks now, he looks more like a sumo wrestler, you know. He likes to eat steak, bro. He's a heavyweight, remember that.
Anthony Joshua, he holds several world title belts, Nnamdi. What does he have coming up in 2018?
A very, very important fight for Anthony Joshua. It's a unification fight against Joseph Parker of New Zealand. Joseph Parker is the WBO heavyweight champion of the world. They've been trying to break bread, and they've been going back and forth with the split. Joseph Parker wants 40% of the gate and the pay-per-view numbers, but he's not a draw. So they've been trying. So they're very close. We expect an announcement right after the holidays. We're looking at March or April in the UK. Unification fight, Joseph Parker against Anthony Joshua for the WBO title.
Nnamdi, do you give Joseph Parker any chance against AJ?
I've been watching him, and he's okay. He's not in the same league with Anthony Joshua. He will stand and fight, and when you stand in front of homeboy, he will take you out, you know. If he decides to run, that's a different thing. And Anthony Joshua have to cut the ring, but I bet you one thing, it's going to be an exciting fight, and somebody will go down.
Joseph Parker, the WBO heavyweight champion, the WBC heavyweight champion, is Deontay Wilder of the United States. What does he have coming up in 2018, Nnamdi?
Sonny, in the month of February, Deontay Wilder will take on Luis Ortiz from Cuba. Remember, Luis Ortiz got busted for steroids. So he's been cleared now. The fight is going to happen in New York City. But really, I don't really put Luis Ortiz in that category of number one contender of a good fight. It will be one of these easy blowout fight for Deontay Wilder. And after that, he will shout the bomb squad, you know, and then challenge Anthony Joshua. It's going to be a no fight. Luis Ortiz will be knocked out by Deontay Wilder. And that will prove nothing to boxing fans in America.
Voice of America.
What about Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Nnamdi? Do you see that maybe late in 2018?
I keep telling people Anthony Joshua don't need Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is not a draw in America. Anthony Joshua has big fish to fry with Tyson Fury and even David Haye. These are fights that will fill the stadium. Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua is more marketable than Deontay Wilder against AJ. This fight with Wilder will have to happen, we'll say, 2019 spring. And people think I'm crazy for saying that. Because it's not there. The numbers are not there. This cat in America is not a pay-per-view draw. He cannot fill arenas, you know. And you need two to tango, you know. And Anthony Joshua don't really need to come to America to make money. He can do 90,000 in the UK. He can do big pay-per-view numbers. You bring him to the US, 17,000 arena, fighting a guy he can destroy. Now, we need to wait for this fight, like we say in the fight game, marinate.
Namdi, you talk about big pay-per-view numbers. One of the biggest fights of 2017 in terms of pay-per-view numbers.
We've been doing this for 21 years. I told you guys I'd come straight ahead. So, you know, with coming straight ahead, I was going to take some contact. I could have sat back and just boxed and counterpunched and made it boring. I didn't want to do that. I feel like I owe the fans a last hurrah. So I went out there and me and my dad communicated before we went out there. The whole game plan was to go out there and let him shoot heavy shots from the beginning, take him down the stretch and do what we do best. And that's what we did tonight.
That's Floyd Mayweather speaking after his 10th round technical knockout victory over Conor McGregor in Las Vegas, Nevada. The final figures are in. Tell our VOA boxing fans the details.
It's 4.3 million pay-per-view buy in North America, which means the fight pulled in more than $600 million, Sonny. And you ask, who has the record for the biggest pay-per-view numbers? Go back, and it is Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao in 2015, 4.6 million.
Break it down, Namdi. How much did each fighter get from that mega bout?
Don't forget now, Floyd Mayweather was just not only the fighter, he was also the promoter. So he got his upfronts and the back end. Floyd Mayweather walked away with more than $350 million. And Conor McGregor made $100 million.
Now, with such money from that fight, Namdi, would Conor McGregor go back to MMA or maybe try his luck again in the boxing ring?
We don't even know if he's going to fight again because he's still busy counting $100 million. If you have $100 million in the bank, will you want anybody to touch you? No.
Namdi, another big fight in 2017. Saul Canelo Alvarez from Mexico. He fought to a draw against Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. Will there be a Canelo Triple G 2 in 2018?
Sonny, the date is almost set, you know, and we're looking at this happening May 15th at T-Mobile Arena. The question becomes, will the second fight sell out like the first fight, you know? Well, remember, this is a very important weekend for Mexican boxing fans, Cinco de Mayo, and they come out in large numbers. The arena will sell out. A lot of fight fans believe Canelo lost the last fight, and a lot of fight fans believe the judge stole the fight from Triple G. So we will come out and see if the Mexican warrior will take out Triple G.
Do you see the Mexican warrior Canelo making adjustments in the rematch?
Sonny has no choice. He must make adjustments. He must learn how to cut off the ring. He's a warrior. We've seen him fight, you know. He must take it to Triple G in the body. Stay in the body. Run your combination. Not just throw a lazy jab and try to look pretty. Stay there. You're a warrior. We've seen you fight. Take it to Triple G. He stands a chance of even stopping Triple G, like I've said in the past. We were very disappointed in the last fight. As a Mexican, if he comes out and runs like he did the last fight, his fan base will never forgive him. So we must see action come May 5th with Canelo and Triple G 2.
Namdi, also in 2017, the Australian fighter Jeff Horn captured the WBO welterweight title belt with a controversial victory over Manny Pacquiao. What's next for Horn in 2018?
Well, you can add that to the robbery of 2017 because Jeff Horn did not win that fight. He just did made a defense of his title in Australia. He pulled big numbers. But now he has a mandatory against Terence Crawford. Crawford knocked out Julius Ndongo, the blue machine. And Jeff Horn is saying he needs $4 million before he can step into the ring with Terence Crawford.
Do you see the promoters giving Horn that kind of money, Namdi?
No, it's not even worth $1 million, Sonny. Come on, we got to look at numbers when we talk fights, you know. Terence Crawford is a great fighter, but he's not a pay-per-view fighter. You can watch him on ESPN for free or cable channel, but will you pay $40, $50, even $70 to see him fight? No, he's not a superstar, you know. Where are they going to find the $4 million to give Jeff Horn? Basically, what he's doing is trying to cash out, or he's trying to say, I'm not ready to fight, I won't fight. He's talking about fighting Tony Mundine from Australia for $2 million. And so basically, they may have to take his belt away from him.
And would Terence Crawford then fight another boxer for that belt, Namdi?
Well, WBO will then go into the ranking and see the next available fighter, and they will fight for the vacant world title. In the meantime, Jeff Horn will try to see if he can get Tony Mundine for $2 million. We believe Jeff Horn just got lucky in Australia, and if he steps into the ring with Terence Crawford, he will be destroyed.
VOA!
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Namdi Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about boxing in 2018. We're also looking back to some of the top fights from 2017. Let's move to the African fighters in 2018, Namdi, and begin with the Ghanaian warrior, Richard Comey. What does he have lined up for the new year?
Well, Sonny, the best move Richard Comey made was coming to America, aligning himself with a promoter in Lou DiBella. The fights that Richard Comey lost in America, if he had a promoter behind him, you know, what we call in the fight game, insurance, boxing insurance, they would not have stolen the fight from him with Robert Easter. He's now set for the final elimination. The winner of this fight must fight Robert Easter, according to the IBF. He's going to take on Alexander Luna of Bellflower, California, for the final elimination. And check this. Luna is not an easy fighter. He's a 22-0 with 15 big knockouts. So this fight may end up in San Antonio in Mexican territory. Homeboy from Accra, Ghana, better bring his A game for this elimination fight because Luna is going to fight. But the winner of this fight must fight the champion, Robert Easter.
Another Ghanaian warrior, Isaac Dogbo, the Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year for 2016. It looks like he could be maybe crowned world champion, Namdi. Tell us about that.
Very important fight happening in Accra, Ghana. January 6th, they call it Battle of the Gold Coast. Isaac Royal Storm Dogbo will take on Cesar Juarez from Mexico for the vacant interim world title, WBO super bantamweight title. And this will happen at Bukom Arena in Ghana. If you are in Accra, Ghana, place to be January 6th, I bet you one thing. Be in that arena because it's going to be bombs away.
Namdi, that must be to Dogbo's advantage to be fighting in front of friendly fans there in Accra.
But don't count out the Mexicans, because the Mexican warriors, they will go into your bedroom and take you out. In front of your family, your wife and brothers, man. These guys, they don't joke at all. You know, that's why I'm telling fight fans, January 6th, place to be, Bukom Arena in Accra, Ghana. But Stanley, remember, this past year, we saw a fight for the first time from Africa on Facebook. Sami Bastia against Bukom Bankum. Hope January 6th, the fight with Dogbo and Cesar Juarez will be streamed live for us on Facebook so we can see it around the globe. Big things happening in boxing, and I believe the promoters from Ghana will do the same thing the promoters with Sami Bastia fight did for Facebook.
Still with African fighters, Namdi, what about the Ugandan Lion, Sharif Bogere?
Sonny, the lion is back. You know, he's healed now. And the lion has big money behind him. With Floyd Mayweather money, you don't go wrong, Sonny. You have your insurance. You have the money to back you up for a title fight. And no judge or referee dares steal a fight from you because Floyd Mayweather is behind you. So 2018, Sheriff Bulgaria will strike for the lightweight title of the world. And I think it's a big year for him. He's healed now. He's back. He's an exciting fighter. He's a television fighter. He brings action. He brings power. He brings knockout. Look for 2018 for homeboy from Kampala to strike.
Namdi, it's time now for the Sunny Side of Sports Boxing Awards for 2017. But first, some music from the Nigerian Fela Kuti. Let's begin with the Sunny Side of Sports Knockout of the Year.
Sunny, if you remember, our last knockout of the year was by an African, Julius the Blue Machine in Dongo, and he did it in 40 seconds. For 2017, we have Zola Tete of South Africa. He knocked out Siboniso Gonya of South Africa in 11 seconds, Sunny.
Unbelievable.
Fast punch knockout, brutal right hook, Sunny. The fastest knockout ever in a world title fight coming from Africa.
Namdi, what's next for Zola Tete?
Sonny, Zola Tete has a big fight against Omar Navies of Argentina, February 10th, at Copa Arena in London. Homeboy from South Africa is making big noise in boxing, and I believe we will see him making some good money. Zola Tete from South Africa, knockout of the year.
Let's move now, Namdi, to the Sunny Side of Sports Fight of the Year for 2017.
Sonny, we have a draw here, which is very rare. Go back to that fight from Bukom Arena in Ghana. That fight kind of reminds me when I go to Las Vegas and a big arena is packed with fight fans and everybody's rolling with each punch. And the fight lived up to expectation. Before this fight between Samir Basti and Bukom Banku, there was a lot of talk, a lot of hype, and the whole city was, everybody was into it. And the fight delivered. And Basti Asami knocked out Bukom Banku in the seventh round, and it was a great fight. The other fight of the year, how can we forget Anthony Joshua against Klitschko, Sonny?
Great fight.
Oh, my God, Sonny. I was shaking it in my boots when Bumbo went down.
Both fighters went down, both got back up.
Oh, Sonny. I mean, the arena was packed, 90,000 people, man. That's a true heavyweight battle, toe-to-toe, epic, man. When homeboy got up from the floor, I was like, whoa, that was a heavyweight fight. We've not seen this fight, kind of fights, in a long time. The fight lived up to expectation. Mega props to Klitschko. He came and he fought and he stood and he showed the world that he's not done. It was a great fight, Sonny.
Namdi, earlier we mentioned Isaac Dogbo, the Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year for 2016. Who is the Prospect of the Year for 2017?
Sonny, we have a very good one, really. And I'm really, really excited about this cat. You know, I've been watching him from the Olympics. He's from Nigeria. Efe Ajagba. He's 6'6", Sonny. Solid. He can punch. 3-0, 3 knockouts. What I like about this cat right now is that he has a very good team, good promoter, good manager, Ronnie Shield, a world-class trainer. And not only that, he has Richard Schaefer, one of the top promoters in America, and Shelley Finkel. Shelley Finkel used to work with Iron Mike Tyson. So what we have here is a young heavyweight from Nigeria being molded right, and his fight's been on television. So when we come back again at the end of 2018, where do we look at? What's going to happen to Efe Ajagba? Remember that name. Heavyweight with power. Heavyweight that can punch. Don't forget what we call Agbara.
Finally, Nnamdi, the Sunny Side of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2017.
Hands down, Sunny. Anthony Joshua from the UK and Nigeria, Sunny.
AJ.
AJ has brought a lot of excitement to the division, to boxing. A class act, Sunny. If you hear him talk, if you look at him, the way he carries himself outside the ring, we don't have anybody like that. And not only that, he still has his roots in the motherland, you know. 2018 is going to be a huge year for him. People say, oh, look at the last fight with Carlos Takam. He did not do this, he did not do that. But don't forget that that fight was the last-minute fight. He had to make adjustment for that fight. 2018 for him with Joseph Parker, Tyson Fury cleaning himself up, and then one more fight because he said he's going to only do 3 fights a year. Then Deontay Wilder, or no Deontay Wilder, Deontay Wilder will have to sit and prove himself in America before we can demand that fight, Sonny. But the man, the grand pooba of boxing today is Anthony Joshua.
That's the late Nigerian musician Fela Kuti with his 1975 song, Water No Get Enemy. And thanks to Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, for his hard-hitting analysis and commentary during this special New Year's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. As Nnamdi mentioned, one of the first big fights of 2018 takes place on Saturday, January 6th, at the Bukom Boxing Arena in Accra, Ghana. Local favorite Isaac Royal Storm Dogbo of Ghana will go against Mexico's Cesar Juarez for the interim World Boxing Organization's Super Bantamweight title. The unbeaten Dogbo is bidding for his 18th consecutive victory. He says Juarez will be a very tough opponent.
This guy is no joke. You know, you have to be extra careful. But look, I keep saying that, you know, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And Cesar Juarez, you have to give him the credit. He's looking to walk through me, you know, but we know what we are made of. Once we call on the name of the Lord, everything becomes silence. So we are not worried. All we have to do is just keep focused. We know he's physically strong. He's determined. I mean, the guy is as tough as they come. He's strong. There's nothing he can take out. He's a knockout specialist. But one thing you have to understand that I have something that he doesn't have. I have the almighty living God by my side. So every time I get in the ring, you know, I'm sure that I'm coming out victorious.
A confident Ghanaian boxer, Isaac Dogbo, speaking ahead of his world title fight against Mexico's Cesar Juarez on January 6th in Accra. And that wraps up the New Year's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Happy New Year!
thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In announcing the national security strategy for the United States under his administration, President Donald Trump emphasized renewed American leadership and renewed American strength. That leadership and strength will now be based on what he calls principled realism.
We face rogue regimes that threaten the United States and our allies. We face terrorist organizations, transnational criminal networks, and others who spread violence and evil around the globe. We also face rival powers, Russia and China, that seek to challenge American influence, values, and wealth. We will attempt to build a great partnership with those and other countries, but in a manner that always protects our national interest.
To succeed, said President Trump, the United States must integrate every dimension of our national strength, and we must compete with every instrument of our national power. The new strategy advances four vital national interests. The first is the protection of the American people, homeland, and way of life. That means securing America's border, including by constructing a wall on the southern border and ending chain migration.
In addition, our strategy calls for us to confront, discredit and defeat radical Islamic terrorism and ideology, and to prevent it from spreading into the United States. And we will develop new ways to counter those who use new domains such as cyber and social media to attack our nation or threaten our society.
The second vital national interest is promoting American prosperity. Economic vitality, growth, and prosperity are absolutely necessary for American power and influence abroad, President Trump said. That is why he is removing regulations that stifle business, championing tax cuts, promoting free and fair trade policy, and unleashing American energy. The third pillar of the strategy is preserving peace through strength, including by rebuilding and modernizing America's military. We recognize, Mr. Trump said, that weakness is the surest path to conflict, and unrivaled power is the most certain means of defense. Finally, the United States will seek to advance American influence in the world by forging strong alliances based on cooperation and reciprocity. And while not imposing America's way of life on anyone, by championing American values without apology. With every decision and every action, said President Trump, the United States is rebuilding our nation, our confidence, and our standing in the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, managing editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. As protests continue in Iran by residents disenfranchised by its government, violent protests have now become deadly, with two people being shot dead overnight.
It'll be a fantastic 2018. We're off to a very good start, as you know, with a great...
The current unrest began with a relatively small protest this past Thursday in Iran's second-largest city and the main base for the opponents of moderate President Hassan Rouhani, before spreading to other parts of the country. The Trump administration says it is very concerned about Tehran blocking Iranian from communicating through social media platforms in a bid to dampen the protest. Iran blocked access to messaging app Telegram and photo sharing app Instagram Sunday, with state media saying the moves were meant to maintain peace. Iranians had been using the apps to communicate about the street demonstrations, the biggest outpouring of public discontent with Iran's clerical leader since 2009, protest against the results of a disputed presidential election. 2018 is officially here, and in the United States, tens of thousands braved the cold to celebrate in places like New York City, which is known for its annual celebration that dates back to 1904. As they do each year, the crowd at Times Square counted down as the crystal ball slid down a pole, arriving at the bottom as 2018 began, accompanied by confetti and fireworks. Mindful of the terrorist threat, thousands of law enforcement and security personnel, including snipers,